This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. As always, between 7 and 8, a packed morning full of riveting news. 7.45, we'll talk to Nigel Wong, the Honorary Secretary General of Mata, about a potential travel bubble. But in the meantime, now it's about foreign labour. Now this week, Wong Xiaoning, the Minister of Human Resources, Dato' Sri M. Saravanan, announced that the government will freeze recruitment of new foreign workers in all sectors until the end of the year. He said this is to protect the local job market and reduce the dependency on foreign labour.
Yeah, the issue of Malaysia's heavy reliance on foreign workers has come under increased scrutiny during the COVID-19 pandemic, amidst, of course, the economic slowdown and rising unemployment. So the question is, would barring the hiring of foreign workers lead to more jobs for Malaysians?
Good job then. We've got Dr. M. Niaz Asadullah, the Southeast Asian lead of the Global Labour Organization, to discuss this and for his reaction to discuss the merits or demerits of this decision. So, Dr. Niaz, we don't have much details about the freeze on foreign worker recruitment beyond what's been reported so far. What gaps of information need to be filled before we can fully assess the efficacy of this policy?
You are correct. As we speak, there isn't a sufficient clarity over what this ban implies. Is it a ban on fresh recruitments from overseas, or does it also extend to rehiring foreign workers who are already in the country with legal documents? So this needs to be fleshed out.
The obvious rationale for the decision is to give job priority to locals and provide a solution to unemployment. Now, do you think this policy addresses that objective?
So one thing is very clear. The government is certainly concerned about rising unemployment in recent months. And by adopting a Malaysian first labour policy, the government has sent a very clear signal to migrant workers. And the government is considering this as a quick fix solution to unemployment as part of his, you know, quick economic recovery plan. The logic is simple. The local unemployment problem can be solved by simply redistributing available jobs to citizens at the expense of foreign workers. And it can also perhaps nudge local employers to rethink their employment strategy in the long run and end their long dependence on foreign workers.
So that logic, Niaz, appears to be quite straightforward, but are there any ways this decision might backfire in practice?
You know, it's too early to say that this temporary ban on migrant workers would solve Malaysia's unemployment problems, some of which are structural in nature. We are talking about youth unemployment, we are talking about low female labour force participation. And I see two areas where the government needs to be careful. The first is that the local workers may not be ready for these jobs. You know, there are still concerns about this, you know, sectors where migrant workers are involved. These jobs are stigmatized, work conditions are dirty and dangerous, pay is low, often irregular. Sometimes there is not even a guarantee of living wage. So, with all these constraints, many may not choose to take up these jobs. Those who do may not meet the employer's requirements. So what we may see in the end is that some gain in short-term employment, but at the expense of output and productivity. So there is a question of sustainability. And the second concern, which in my opinion is a bigger concern, is that it may backfire by attracting even more foreign workers. For many Malaysian employers, locals are yet to offer a perfect substitute for foreign workers, particularly in the construction and plantation sector. So what it means is that there can still be hidden demand for foreign workers, and many vested groups and syndicates may find ways to bring in undocumented workers, either as tourists or through unofficial channels. So therefore, this may produce a completely opposite, you know, a situation where instead of seeing a decrease in foreign workers, we might see an increase, and that too in the wrong category, as undocumented migrant workers.
Now, we've had this discussion before about 3D jobs and how to make it more appealing for Malaysians. Now, we know it's not going to happen overnight, but what concrete short to medium term steps can the government take to facilitate this?
So I think in the short term, the government has already made a move, which is about making its intent clear, which is about sending a signal to employers that, look, we are shifting to a new regime. Please get ready, put in place the right measures. So in that respect, I see two long-term reform requirements. On part of the employers, they have to shift their mindset. They have to focus more on productivity instead of low wages as their source of competitiveness. Malaysians will not simply take up positions left behind by migrant workers if conditions do not improve. Rebranding these jobs, addressing the deficit of decent work in certain sectors remains a big, big challenge. The problem is for many SMEs, which account for a large proportion of jobs and perhaps the majority of jobs would be 40, this means rebranding, and rebranding means extra cost. You know, there is added cost of formalizing their business practices. They can't do this alone without government support. Now, there is another reform which relates to supply of labor, which is about addressing skill gaps. So employers, on the other hand, may continue to demand foreign workers or may decline to rebrand the jobs or formalize their businesses until unless they're assured of a steady supply of skilled workers locally available. So this, therefore, is something for the government to intervene, that local workers need to be adequately prepared and trained so that employers can be compensated for high pay and better work conditions in terms of better labor productivity. So put it together, until you know employers and local workers are ready, until these background reforms are in place, we can't just end the dependency on foreign workers. It would be way too disruptive for businesses and the local economy.
Thanks, Nias. That was Dr. M. Nias Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead for the Global Labour Organization. Now, obviously, this thing is peppered with a lot of challenges, right? Obviously, beyond the inconsistent messaging from the governments to labour-related ministries, I also want to point out something that Nias raised as well, which is the mentality of the workers, right? Which doesn't get discussed very often. Even though the government, from a top-down policy perspective, they want to shift employment back to local workers, Does the mentality and the attitude of the local workers fit the profile of what the manufacturers, for example, or the organizations want? So many times we've spoken to employers who report delinquencies, workers who don't turn up, they're lazy, they're not motivated to work. Whereas foreign workers, for the most part, they come here, they are here to work, and they work very long hours because they want to make some money to send money back to feed their family, right?
Yeah, but it's more complicated than that also, because if you think about it, right, I think it's a bit of push and pull, both from the employees and then the employers. So employers, of course, want to extract maximum value from their workers, right? They want to have the lowest possible cost of production.
Yeah, and rebranding will cost a lot more money again.
Yeah, or automate will cost a lot of more money. So Malaysian companies, a lot of them, have been taking advantage of what is a relatively very cheap labour market. And this is, of course, due to foreign workers a lot, to be able to extract, you know, these very high margins.
And that's where a lot of corporate profits have come from in the last decade or so.
Yeah, but at whose expense at the end of the day,
exactly.
Right? So the question is, as a government, should we then be pushing companies towards moving up the value chain to increase automation so that Malaysian workers in the first place can be paid a higher wage rather than just be factory hands on the floor? You're talking about a work that is a bit more technically challenging, engineers, for example. We don't seem to move on. And the other concern I have is, even when you look at the Panjana package, right, what we are offering now to encourage FDI is tax-free for 10 years if you invest 300 to 500 million ringgit, and then 15 years if it's half a billion and above, but with no conditions. So are we attracting then these manufacturing companies to come here and do the same thing that they've been doing for the last 10, 15, 20 years and set up this low manufacturing cost base, rather than kind of saying with conditions, okay, your level of automation must be a certain level.
Yeah.
You know, the workers that you need to hire, they need to have a certain level of responsibility, and the income we are looking at should be a certain amount, rather than, you know, the floodgates open again.
No, you're right. It's in the unfortunate consequence of COVID-19, which has set back the economy all over the world, right, by to some degree 2 or 3 years. So this is what economists call taking the low-hanging fruit, just to get the engine started again. It's almost as if Malaysia tries to take one step forward and then takes two steps back, right? We should be pursuing a policy of digitization and automation now, but we can't, because the economy is not ready for it, the labour force is not ready for it.
Well, it's a bit of chicken and egg. If you don't start, you'll never start, right? So whether you think COVID-19 allows you to do that big reset, right? That is a question. And some governments are saying this is the time, for example, where the economies they want to pursue or industries they want to pursue, for example, are like green, environmentally friendly. You do need the government to start the ball rolling.
Which is why the policy direction is very important, but the different government of the last 3 months has entered administration, and this is their baptism of fire, right? So big question marks for the policymakers to address. Up next, we'll talk to law professor Carol Peterson on the new security law Beijing is looking to impose in Hong Kong. That's happening after the 7:30 news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.